How many know that we are living in some very interesting times? The nations, the governments of the earth are being shaken. There's deception, there's confusion on a grand scale, natural disasters and war. The anarchists are running amok in the streets, violence, murder, sexual perversion of every kind, people killing in the name of religion, families disintegrating, dragging each other into court, blatant mockery of God and His people. No one knows who to trust anymore. Does that sound kind of familiar to what's happening right now? But how many know that none of these things should shake us? Instead, it should awake us to realize the times we're living in and to know that God is not in confusion. He's not the author of confusion. And the only place that you're going to find sanity is in Him. The only place where there is true stability is in Christ. Amen? Is that your soul is in right alignment with God. That your heart is right with Him. That you know His voice. That you listen to His voice. That you're able to know when the Lord is calling you and prompting you. Whether it be through a dream and through a vision. Hallelujah. Amen? Through a prophetic word and utterance that God will give you to speak forth spontaneously. None of these things should shake us. But folks, we need to realize Jesus is coming. He is coming. The King is coming, folks. Every time I say that, it quickens me. Something is stirred up in me when I say that Jesus is coming. Why? Because that's what the Holy Spirit is saying. He's saying to the church, get ready. The King is coming. Amen. He's saying to the world, wake up. Hallelujah. Take a look around at what's happening. Do you realize that things are out of your control? Do you realize that your politics are not going to bring a solution to the problems of the world? The only thing that's going to bring an answer is Jesus Christ. He is the answer. He is still the answer for the world today. You have an appointment with God. Every one of us here, we have an appointment with God. We have personal appointments with Him every day. We have divine appointments with Him. But folks, the day is coming in which we shall all stand before Jesus Christ. We shall all see Him. Hallelujah. Every knee will bow to Him. And every tongue will confess that He is Lord. The question is are you ready today to meet the Lord? The Bible says that one day all will stand judgment. It doesn't say that all will be reincarnated. It says it is appointed unto man once to die, and after this the judgment. Hebrews 9:27 and verse 28 says, so Christ was offered once to bear the sins of many. To those who eagerly await Him, He shall come again. Amen? A second time, apart from sin for salvation. Are we looking forward to that day? Are we getting ready to meet Jesus? Are we helping others to get ready to meet Jesus? Amen. That was a good loud amen. That's what we're supposed to do, amen? We get ready ourselves and help others get ready. Amen. John the Baptist warned of the wrath of God that would come upon the earth. In Matthew chapter 3 and 7, he says, to those who are coming to be baptized of Him, who has warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Now, Jesus said, in the world, you'll have tribulation, you'll have difficulty. But there's a difference between tribulation and the wrath of God. For the church has not been appointed to suffer His wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. And so the coming of the Lord should be a joyful thing for us, not a scary thing. Amen? If it's a scary thought for you, then it means you need to get your heart right with God. Amen. Hallelujah. Because in Him there is no fear of death. Amen. When your heart is right, you're not afraid anymore of that. Right. Hallelujah. In chapter 3 of Matthew in verse 10, it says, and even now the axe is laid to the root of the trees. Therefore every tree which does not bear good fruit is cut down and cast into the fire. How many know that Jesus said, every tree is known by its fruit. So a good tree will produce good fruit. It doesn't matter what you tell me about your walk with God. I want to see your walk. Amen. It's not enough to say I'm a follower of Jesus. We need to demonstrate that because we are truly walking with Him. Amen. That goes for me too. In verse 11, it says, I indeed baptize you with water under repentance, but he who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. How many know you need the baptism with the Holy Spirit and fire? Amen? God is the one who burns in us, first of all, for purification, but also he burns in us so that we can be a light in the darkness. Amen? So that we can be effective in reaching people for Jesus. It has to go beyond, amen, just a cute little story of a historical Jesus, amen, or a flannel graph Jesus. We need the reality. Yeah. We need to say, let me give you Jesus. Let me introduce you to my best friend. Would you like to encounter the living God? Yeah. Would you like to know him? Yeah. God wants you to have an encounter with him that is real. Amen. That is not theory, but it is reality. You shall know the reality of this message, and it will set you free. He is the reality. He is the truth. Hallelujah. His winnowing fan is in his hand. A winnowing fan is a shovel type device that they'd use to thresh wheat. And they would take it and they'd throw it up. Amen. And the wind would blow the chaff away. So the pure grain would fall back to the earth. And God, and he's saying here that God has got his winnowing fan in his hand, and he's going to thoroughly clean out the threshing floor. Now, a threshing floor was one of these places that usually in a high elevation where the wind was blowing. Okay, but it was an area about 15 cubits or whatever it was, and it was flat, and it was cleared so that they could take the wheat and throw it up into the air. The wind would blow it away. And so he's talking about this floor, this area, this flat area. And he said he's going to thoroughly clean out his threshing floor and gather his wheat into the barns. This threshing floor represents Israel, folks. It represents humanity. God is gathering up a harvest of souls from every nation, kindred, tribe, and tongue. God is gathering up the harvest through the generations. God has been separating a bride, a people that are going to be his. Amen? And you and I are his bride, are we not? Are we not that people that belong to Jesus? Are we not in preparation today to the day where we see Jesus? Hallelujah. Make sure that you are ready, folks. Are you ready to meet Jesus? But he said he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. Now, what is this unquenchable fire? He's talking about hellfire. What did Jesus come to deliver us from? He came to deliver us from hell. Why? Because the wages of sin is death. It's not talking about physical death. We all die naturally. He's talking about the second death. What is the second death? This is eternal, if you will, damnation in the lake of fire. There is a place called hell. It is real, just as real as heaven is real. And God is not willing that anyone should go to that place. He has made a provision for us. He's made it so we can escape that place and be with him. Hallelujah. But you've got to come through the door. You've got to come his way, not your way. You've got to make sure that your heart is right with your Maker. Hallelujah. Don't gamble with your soul. Your soul is eternal. You're not going to just burn up. The Bible does not teach annihilation where you just burn up and it's over. The Bible teaches that hell is an eternal place. The fire is not quenched. The worm does not die. It says that the smoke of their torment ascends forever and ever. Folks, this is a real eternal place that nobody wants to go to. There is no party in hell. It is not a pleasant place to go. Amen? But Jesus came that we might escape this place. Hallelujah. And that we might escape his wrath. And that we might be able to stand before him in that day, not by my own goodness, but in his goodness, in his righteousness, because I have repented of my sins, and I have called upon the name of the Lord, and I have aligned myself with his purpose for my life. I have repented in my mind. I have said, God, I hear you. God, I'm listening now. God, I change my mind. I was living for the world. I was living for the devil. Or I was dabbling with the world and dabbling with the devil. But I repent. From now on, I'm going to serve you. Amen. Jesus made it very clear, you cannot serve two masters. You're going to have to make a decision if you're going to follow Jesus or not. It means it's going to cost you everything. Did you hear that? It's going to cost you everything. It means that your life now belongs to God. It is not yours any longer. He bought you with His blood. He loves you. He has a wonderful plan for your life. He has a purpose that is so far greater than anything this world can offer you, which is only temporary and fleeting. God is saying, I want to give you my glory.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Jesus said He wants to share the glory with us.
Yes.
It's in John chapter 17. But folks, what we want so often is we want a crown, but we don't want the cross. There's people teaching a crossless Christianity today. Just easy believism, a feel-good message that everybody's going to heaven. That's a lie. Jesus said there will be many that go in the wide road to destruction. There will be few who find life. And the few are those who gave their lives to Jesus Christ. Amen? They weren't those who gave themselves, at least partially, made in a deal, an agreement with God. But in their hearts, they had never really repented. There is a thing called false repentance. There are people who think that they're going and they're not. There are many lying spirits, many devils of deception today that are running around. Many of them are behind pulpits and they're telling people a lie.
Yeah.
Do you know what? God wants you to feel good. But let me just tell you this. Before you can feel good, you're going to have to feel bad. That's the truth. I had to feel bad before I could feel good. I had to become aware of my sinfulness. I trembled. I knew I was in trouble with God. I came to the place where I realized this is life or death. This is heaven or hell for me. If I don't choose Jesus, I'm going to rot in hell forever. Folks, that's the reality. There's a thing called godly sorrow that works repentance. It changes the way that you live, the way that you feel, the way that you think. It's no longer, can I play or even dabble? I don't want anything to do with the devil because I don't want to spend eternity with him.
Amen.
I know where he's going. And hell was not for you. It was for the devil and his angels. But for those who want to serve him, that's where they're going to go. Not because God wants that. He doesn't want that, but you choose your path because you have a free will.
Yes.
He'll never violate that. Choose this day who you'll serve.
Yes.
God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man sows, that shall he also reap.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Those who sow to their flesh, their sin nature, will of that nature reap corruption. But those who sow to the spirit and of that life, amen,
amen,
they will reap eternal life. Who will you serve today? The prophets of old, they referred to this day of God's wrath as the day of the Lord. In Joel chapter 2:1, it says, the day of the Lord is coming, for it is at hand. Folks, we see it coming. It is a day of darkness and gloominess, a day of clouds and thick darkness. In Malachi chapter 4, verse 1, for behold, the day is coming, burning like an oven, and all the proud, yes, and all who do wickedly will be stubble, and the day which is coming shall burn them up. Isaiah 34 and 1, come near, you nations, to hear, and listen, you people. Let the earth hear, and all that is in it, the world and all things that come forth from it. For the indignation of the Lord is against all nations, including America. Our kingdom is not of this world either. Our citizenship is where? It's in heaven. And it says, in his fury is against all their armies. 2 Peter in the New Testament, chapter 3 and verse 7. Peter said, but the heavens and the earth which now exist are kept in store by the same word, reserved for fire until the day of judgment and the destruction of ungodly men. And verse 10 it says, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Who knows if this is going to be a natural catastrophe or something supernatural? Will God rain fire and brimstone down on Sodom and Gomorrah? And guess what? The first world was destroyed by water. This world is going to be renovated by fire. There's fire that's coming to this world. Amen? But we don't have to fear those things because we have an escape. Hallelujah. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. There are some who believe this is nuclear Holocaust. That literally, it burns everything up. Therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be Who's he talking to? You and I. In holy conduct and godliness. Looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be dissolved, being on fire, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, we look for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. Guess what? Man is not going to save this earth. Now, I don't believe we should abuse the earth, but guess what? It's impossible for man to save himself. The more we try to save ourselves, the worse it gets. Because only God can save us. He made it. And when we disconnect with the one who made it, guess what? Automatically things fall apart. Whenever we think we're smarter than God. Therefore, beloved, looking forward to these things, be diligent to be found by him in peace, without spot or blemish. Make sure you have peace with your God. Make sure you forgive, amen, others. And consider that the long suffering of our Lord is salvation. He's patient with us. You have an appointment with God. Are you ready is the question. When God gives warnings, he also gives consolation. He warns of judgment, but he also gives a way of escape. Remember in 2 Chronicles 7:14, he said, If my people, who call by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. Who's that? That's you and I. What's the hope for America? You and I. Yeah. Not the politicians, you and I.
Amen. Yeah.
If we will pray, it starts with individuals. Individuals influence families. Families, amen, influence culture and society. And government and all the different areas of influence in the earth. God's people need to be the light again. We need to be the salt again. We need to call on God. We need to repent as a church. We need to repent. Say, God, I want to toe the line with you. I want to walk carefully with you. Lord, I don't want to be distracted anymore. I don't want to be deceived anymore. I don't want to be drawn away from you anymore. I don't want to waste my life on vain living, on empty things that are going to pass away. I want to live my life for you and for eternity. I want my treasure there, amen, that will be reserved in the heavens. Because everything you look around and you look at now is one day going to be gone, folks, including this body that you're in, this earth suit. And when that earth suit goes, amen, and it drops, who you are is who you're going to be forever. There will be no longer any time to get your heart right with God, to repent and get things in order. Today is a day of salvation. He who is unjust, let him be unjust still. He who is unholy, let him be unholy still. In that day, when God calls us, in that day, when we die, or we're called to be with him, who you are is who you're going to be. Do you understand the importance of preparation?
Yes.
Do you understand the importance of holiness in our lives? Do you understand that unless you're holy, you will not see him? Mm-hmm. The Bible's very clear. Now let me just say this, because holiness is not what we've taught it to be so often. It's not just about stopping this and stopping that. Some people are very good at stopping this and stopping that. And somehow thinking that God accepts me because I stopped this and I stopped that. I no longer smoke, I no longer drink, I no longer cuss, I no longer chew. You know, certainly I'm qualified for heaven now. If your heart's right with God, you won't do those things. Or if you're doing it, you won't be able to be comfortable in it. You'll be miserable and you'll want to be free. And you know what? If you're struggling with something today, God can set you free.
Amen.
This is not condemnation. It's healing.
Yes.
It's deliverance. We're here to help each other out, amen? So don't look at your neighbor and say, oh, you scumbag, you smoke, you do that. You know? Take a look in the mirror, amen? 1 Thessalonians 5:9, listen, for God did not appoint us to suffer wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't that good news? In other words, God is warning right now. He's warning the nations. And there's insurrections. There's rebellions on, you see it. Look on the news. Whole nations are collapsing everywhere. America, now 50 states trying to secede from the union. From the federal, you know? What's happening? There's a shaking going on throughout the earth, folks. Everything will and is going to be shaken. Amen?
Amen.
There is a shaking. And the only security is in Jesus. That's it. You and I need to know that. We need to be founded and grounded in Him. Amen. We need to have a solid walk with Jesus, a relationship with Him. Amen. A love for Him that cannot be moved, that cannot be shaken. So that the world will look at you when everything else is falling apart and say, but those Christians are still happy. What's wrong with them? How can they rejoice in such times as this? What they don't need to see are Christians sucking lemons. Come on. I said, well, they ain't got the answer either. Let me try Buddhism. Let me try something else. Come on. We have the answer. We have access to the throne of grace. We can come and we can today. You can be reconciled to God today. You can have peace with God today. You can know your sins are forgiven. Today you can have the joy of the Lord in your life. Today depression can be broken off of you even. Oh yeah. Wrestle that devil. Kick him out. You may have to deal with it for a while. Kick him out. Don't allow him. Don't give into it. Because you don't have to. Because greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. You have authority in Jesus' name.
Yes.
It's what you choose to believe. It's what you choose to think about. If you believe, well, how are you doing today? Well, I'm depressed. Well, that may be a reality and a truth. But folks, if you're going around declaring that over your life and confessing that around you, you know, come on. The devil says, hey, over here, they're depressed. Let's go get them. Bring in the big guns. We'll really mess them up. Because why? They're aligning their conversation with what God says is not to be for His people. I'm going to say it again. God does not want His people depressed. And He doesn't want His people worrying. He doesn't want His people fearful. He wants us to be filled with Him. Who is not worried, who is not fearful, who's never depressed. He is joyful. Amen? That's what we need. We just need to go deeper. Go deeper into the heart of God. Hallelujah. Shout out. There is a place of quiet rest near to the heart of God. Remember the hymn? There is a place where sin cannot molest, near to the heart of God. That's where we need to be. Abide in Him. Continue in Him. Return to your first love. Go after Him. Don't just ask for stuff. Seek Him. If you seek Him with all your heart, you'll find Him. Hallelujah, folks. I'm going to tell you, like, I came in here last night. And sometimes I get a lot of heaviness. I get a lot of stuff going on, a lot of stuff happening. And I came in here, and I'm going to tell you, I just felt like fear. It was weird. I just came in, and I just felt like, man, what's up with that? And I was thinking, you know what? No way. No way. No way. And I just began to praise the Lord and call on Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh, man, you shift the atmosphere. You start praising Him. Hallelujah. The devil say, we got to get out of here, boys. Why? Because it draws in the glory of God. The angels of God come. Hallelujah. And they're kicking them out of here. Hallelujah. And get them out of your life. Get them out of your hair. Get them out of your head. Hallelujah. You're not depressed. God has given you a sound mind. That's who we are. That's what we accept. When God gives a warning, He gives consolation. He gives an answer. Hey, Jesus died for us. Whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with Him. Therefore, comfort one another. Amen? And edify one another, just as you also are doing. Reach out your hand to your fellow man. Throw the life preserver. You see him sinking? Throw it out. Say, hey, grab on. Yeah. Folks, if we knew for sure that Jesus was coming tomorrow at 12 o'clock, where do you think you might find yourself? Yeah, you'd probably be here or on your knees like Jonathan said. Amen. Or maybe reaching out to one lost soul somewhere and say, just one more, Jesus. I don't want to be selfish about this. I want to bring as many people as possible with me. Amen. Isn't that what he told us to do anyways? He said, now you've been saved. Now you go and do the same. Amen. You share what I've shared with you with others. Freely you've received, freely give. What must I do to be prepared? Hebrews 12 and 25, are you listening? It says, see that you do not refuse him who speaks. Do not refuse the voice of God. Are you hearing this today? God is giving warning, and judgment will begin at the house of God. It begins with the church, folks. And God wants his church to be ready so that we'll be in the position to help others that come through these doors. Are you with me? See that you don't refuse, that you do not refuse him who speaks. For if they did not escape who refused him who spoke on earth, Moses, speaking of Moses, much more shall we not escape if we turn away from him who speaks from heaven, whose voice then shook the earth, but now he has promised, saying, yet once more I shake not only the earth, but also the heaven. Everything is being shaken right now, folks. It is not a time to be in Disneyland. Amen? Come on. If you knew Jesus was coming tomorrow at noon, would you go to Disneyland?
No.
There's nothing wrong with Disneyland.
Great.
I'm just saying, what type of life should we be living? How should we be living? The thing I like about you, and I'm saying this because I'm hoping you'll stretch into it now, and I know it's true for most of us here, but you are sold out for Jesus. This is a group of people that are sold out for Jesus. But would you be honest with me today and say there are areas in my life that I need to give up to God? There are things that I need to deal with and quit making excuses about it, because I don't know about you, but it's not worth, amen, losing what God has for something that's temporary. Because the devil is a thief, and he's going to offer you cheap counterfeits. He's going to offer you things of the world that may bring some pleasure for a season, but in the end, he only knows it's going to mess you up. It's going to destroy you.
Yeah.
It ain't worth it. How many here are going to say, Jesus, I am ready to go all the way with you. Jesus, I put my hand to the plow, and I'm not going to look back. Jesus, I'm making up my mind. I repent today. That I'm going to start living for you. I'm going to start serving your people. I'm going to serve the church. Hello? I'm going to serve the world.
Yes.
What do we need to do, folks? We need to love God. We need to love people. And we need to serve the world.
Yeah.
We need to be doing those things. If you and I will just come together, if we'll just unite, and really sell out, folks. I mean, just sell out for the sake of the gospel, for the sake of the Lord. Amen? There's no stopping what God's going to do. Oh, I don't think what can I do? It's not what you can do. It's what God can do through you. Get yourself out of that place. Come to God and say, I don't have anything. I can't do anything. He says, great, you're somebody I can use.
Amen.
Well, I'm not wise. Great, you're somebody I can use. I'm not eloquent of speech. Don't say that. I gave you your mouth to speak.
Yeah,
that's right. Hebrews 9 and 28. So Christ was offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him will he appear a second time without sin unto salvation. What must I do to be saved? You need to repent. And be baptized. You need to turn yourself over to Jesus. Amen. Turn from yourself. That's really what repentance is. Did you know that?
Yeah.
It's not just stopping this and stopping that. It means I turn away from me. And I turn to God.
Yeah.
I present myself and say, okay, Lord. I am an empty vessel. I come broken. I have nothing to give except what you would give me. But I present my body to you. Fill me with your fire. Amen. Fill me with the Holy Spirit. Lord, get me ready and send me out wherever you want me to go. Here I am. I'll be your man. I'll be your woman. Amen. Amen. Present yourselves. Present your bodies unto him. Why? Because of all the things that he's done for you, it's your reasonable service. It's only reasonable that we would give ourselves to him now. You need to repent and be washed in the blood of Jesus. Ephesians 1:7, in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. Not because of what we did, but because of his grace. Number three, be filled with the Holy Spirit. Ephesians 5:18 and 19. You can write that down for later. Watch, pray, and commit your life to the Lord. Luke 21 and 34. But take heed to yourselves. Listen. Lest your hearts be weighed down with carousing, drunkenness, and cares of this life. And that day come on you unexpectedly. For it will come as a snare on all those who dwell on the face of the whole earth. Watch therefore and pray always that you may be counted worthy to escape all these things that will come to pass. And to stand before the Son of Man. You have an appointment with God. I have an appointment with God. We're all going to see Jesus. Folks, are you ready? Are you ready to meet the Lord? Philippians 3:20, for our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Those whose hearts are right with God are those who are looking forward to the return of Jesus. Those who are forsaken their life in this world are the ones that are looking for Him and that world. Amen. If you love your life in this world, you're not going to be looking forward to that world. Let that be an examination. Do I love this world? Do I just live for personal gratification? Do I live for just pleasure? Do I live for just what I can get temporarily right now? Or am I living for Him and for His eternal purpose? Am I just wasting myself on earthly treasure? Or am I storing up treasure in heaven? Am I just living for temporary or for eternity? Folks, we need to look up. We need to keep looking up because Jesus is coming. Titus 2 and 13 says, looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 16, for the Lord himself will descend. It's not might, it will descend from heaven. With a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus shall we always be with the Lord. Comfort one another with these words. Where is your citizenship? Heaven. Who are we living for? Jesus. Amen. We've got to divorce this world. And we've got to get a hold, amen, of God and say, God, my life for you.
Yes, Lord. Yes. Yes,
Lord. Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you, Father, for your promises. That, Lord, you will never leave us. You will never forsake us. That my God shall supply all of my needs according to His riches and glory. All of my needs, that's not just tangible needs, folks. That means all your spiritual needs, everything you need, it's in Him. He has given unto us, the church, all things that pertain to life and godliness. We're complete in Him. We don't have any excuses before God because He has given us access to His throne. That we can come anytime, anywhere. You don't have to bow your knee in a church building. Amen. You can be pushing a grocery cart in Walmart. And you can be having communion with Jesus. You can be receiving from His grace wherever you find yourself on the job. Hallelujah. Sanctify, set apart the Lord God in your heart. Amen. And always be ready to give an answer to anyone who asks you of the hope that is within you. We should live such lives that they're going to see the reality of the kingdom. That there is indeed something something different about you and I, that we have a hope where the world is complaining and belly aching and fretting and worried, and we're saying, ha, my citizenship is in heaven. I've got heaven in my heart. I know where I'm going. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Oh, hallelujah.